Today is what's known as Reek Sunday. You might say that's a very strange name. Well, it actually refers to the pilgrimage in County Mayo today, up Kirkpatrick Mountain. I had forgotten totally about it until this morning. I just realized I looked at the date, 27th of July, the last Sunday in July, and I realized, yes, this is the day when thousands of Roman Catholics will make their way to Kirkpatrick Mountain in County Mayo, just outside Westport. And thank God there are believers there today to witness to them. Thank God for the organizations like Men for Missions, other Christian organizations who seek to reach them with the gospel. There's a notice on the notice board from Men for Missions, One Mission. And they have an outreach team there helping the church in Westport to share the gospel, to give out tracts, to give out bottles of water to the pilgrims as they go there. How sad it is. Children climbing the mountain. Older people climbing the mountain. I've heard reports of elderly men and elderly women going up that mountain with a walking stick and a walking frame. Getting down on their hands and knees, and their knees cut and bleeding, because they believe that this is all part of earning salvation. They believe that this is part of earning God's forgiveness, and they have to do this, and God will be pleased with them. How sad. What a tragedy today. We ought to pray for the teams that are down there, for the believers who are down there today witnessing and seeking to share the truth of the Word of God with those dear people. But thank God today we have the light of God's Word. And we know that we don't have to go on pilgrimage to be saved, to be a child of God. We don't have to go to Kirkpatrick Mountain. We don't have to be like the Hindus in India who go to the river Ganges every year to wash away their sins, as they say. They go into the river and they bathe in the river. They think that by going on pilgrimage to that river, they think that they can wash away their sins. How sad, what darkness. But thank God today we're in a church and we have the light of the gospel, the light of the Word of God. I want us to think today about a text of Scripture that we've read from Romans chapter 10. And it's verse 17. And this text has been on my mind for a few weeks. Romans 10, 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Our internet ministry has this text as its motto, sermon audio. Faith cometh by hearing. And we thank God that we can broadcast the messages all over the world through the means of the internet. You know why we do it? You know why Sermon Audio launched that website? Because faith cometh by hearing. Saving faith comes when people hear the Word of God. Last Sunday night, of course, we had John Morrison here. It was good to have John, and it was good to give him the opportunity to tell about the radio evangelism that he's involved in, and we pray that God will bless his ministry. But you see, it's all about hearing, isn't it? As the gospel goes out over the radio. And my, wasn't it tremendous, wasn't it a tonic to hear last Sunday night about all the different radio stations where he's broadcasting the gospel. And the gospel is going out and people are hearing. And the Bible says faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. So whether it's on the internet or whether it's on the radio, faith does come by hearing. Of course, when it says faith cometh by hearing, that also means reading. Don't please think that it just means preaching and you've got to hear the gospel. This also refers to reading. You see, whenever Paul wrote these words, the scriptures, the whole Bible wasn't completed. So the people couldn't have read God's word. But you see, what Paul means, and to bring it into our day and our generation, this is referring to reading as well. You see, if it's only referring to hearing the preaching of the gospel and hearing the word of God, what about a deaf person? Does that mean that they're excluded from salvation? That they're excluded from the gospel? No. It's referring to reading as well. And thank God for the ways that people can understand the gospel, the methods that are there to communicate the gospel through the preaching, through gospel tracts. Thank God for people today who give out tracts, the little paper missionaries. You know, Hudson Taylor was saved through a tract. His parents went off one day and Hudson was alone in the house. And he was bored. And he was wondering what to do. And he went into his father's study and he picked up a tract. And he said, oh, well, nothing better to do. Sat down and he read it. And he was sitting down to read it to laugh at it. But he read it. And when his parents came back, he had good news for them. He had trusted Christ. Thank God today for the preaching of the gospel and for the hearing of the gospel. But thank God today that people can read the gospel through a tract, through a gospel booklet. Thank God today, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I want us to think for the remaining time today about what we could call saving faith. Saving faith. Every day we exercise faith. Whenever you go to the bank, you're using faith. You have faith in the bank that when you lodge your money in the bank, whenever your money goes into the account, that it's safe there in the bank. You have faith in it. Whenever you step on the bus, you have faith in the bus driver that he'll take you where you want to go. You don't get onto the bus and look at the bus driver and say, I don't know whether you're capable. I'm not sure whether you'll take me where I want to go to. No, we just get on the bus. We pay the fare. You get on the train. You pay the fare. You trust the train driver to take you to where you're going. Faith. You go to the doctor. He writes out a prescription. Here, take this. This is what you need. Doctor, are you sure this is what I need? I'm not convinced about this. What's this you put down here? Nobody does that. Nobody in their right mind does that. The faith in the doctor. He knows what he's talking about. We have faith whenever we go out for a meal. You have faith in the chef and the waiters and the waitresses that bring you your food. Whenever the food comes, you don't look at the food and look up at the waitress and say, do you think I should eat this? We're exercising faith every day. Everyday life has many, many incidents and instances where we display faith and we don't bat an eyelid at it. Whenever you've got pills, the doctor gives you the pills, the medicine. You don't look at the medicine and wonder, well, should I take this? You just take it, and if you're wise, if you have any sense, you'll take it and you'll take it as quickly as possible and finish the course. In everyday life, we display faith. So I hope that helps you to understand the concept of faith, what faith is. But we're thinking today not about faith in a bank or faith in a doctor or faith in a chef in a restaurant. We're thinking about faith in Christ. And that's the most important kind of faith. It's saving faith. It's the faith that will save your never dying soul. I want us to think first of all today about faith's source. The source of faith. The source of saving faith. It's found in this verse, Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Notice those last four words, the word of God. That is where saving faith comes from. That's the source of saving faith. The word of God, of course, refers to a book. A book. And it's not just a book, it's the book. It's this wonderful book that Paul was talking about. This is the source of saving faith. This is where true saving faith comes from. It's this book that produces saving faith in a sinner. We could say that this book is like a great river. Did you ever think of the Bible like a great river? The river of inspiration, we could call it. And the river started 6,000 years ago, back at the beginning of time and creation, in the book of Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. There's the headwaters of the great river of inspiration. And that great river flowed on down through the history books of the Old Testament, the books of poetry, books of wisdom, the minor prophets. Then came the time of our Savior, the New Testament, and the river swells and it grows as our blessed Lord Jesus becomes a human being and comes into this world to save us from our sins. And the river reaches its completion in the book of Revelation. At the very beginning of Scripture, man is cast out. He's excluded from the Garden of Eden. But at the end of Scripture, he's welcomed back in. And it's all because of the blood of the Lamb. Thank God for this book. What's this book called? And you say, what are you talking about? Here's the Bible. Did you ever think about that word Bible? You know where that word comes from? It comes from the Greek word Biblos. Biblos. B-I-B-L-O-S. Do you know what that literally means in the Greek? The book. The book. That teaches us that the Bible is not just a book. The Bible is the book. You may have heard of Sir Walter Scott, the author. Walter Scott was dying. He was on his deathbed. And he asked his son-in-law, he said, would you read from the book? Read from the book. His son-in-law kind of looked at him and he said, what do you mean, the book? What book? He said, the book. He was talking, of course, about the Bible. He said, there is only one book, the Bible. Someone has said all other books are mere leaves, fragments. Yes, it alone is the perfect book. It is the eternal book. It is the voice. All other books are merely echoes. Do you want to have saving faith? Do you want to come to know Christ? Your faith will start in this book. Your faith will come from this book, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God, the Bible, is the source of faith. But you know, whenever Paul talked about the Word of God, I believe he was talking not just about a book, but about a person. He was talking about the bridegroom. He was talking about the Beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because did you know that in the book of Revelation, Jesus is called, listen, the Word of God. Revelation chapter 19 verse 13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Paul is saying here that faith, saving faith, comes from the Bible. But the Bible is all about the Savior. If I can put it like this, the Word of God is all about the Word of God. And I hope I haven't confused you. But the Word of God, the Bible, is all about Jesus. And when Paul says that saving faith comes by the Word of God, he's saying it comes from that book that exalts Christ. It comes from the book that's about Christ and His blood from Genesis to Revelation, from start to finish. There is a crimson river that runs through the Bible. We have talked already about the river of inspiration. But you know, this book is stained with the precious blood of Jesus. That's what gives it its value. That's why I love this book. That's why this book is precious to me today. I know it's precious to you as a believer if you've been washed in His blood. But from Genesis to Revelation, it's all about the blood of the Lamb. Someone has said, cut the Bible and it will bleed. Cut the Bible and it will bleed. Thank God today for the source of faith. I want us to move on today because we've not only faith's source, we've faith's course. Faith's course. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing. That's the course of this great river of faith. It begins with the Word of God. That's the source of it. That's the spring of true saving faith. But it makes, as the stream of faith grows and it widens, we have its course. And how does the Word of God, how does the Word of God be communicated to a person? How does a person receive the Word of God? It's by hearing. This is very important. You notice Paul doesn't say faith cometh by listening. There's a difference in hearing and listening. Oh, you're listening to the sermon today. You're listening to the Word of God. But let me ask you, are you hearing? Listening means that it goes in one ear, but it can go out the other ear. Hearing means it goes in and stays there. You think about it and you believe it. Tell me, is that the way that you receive the Word of God when you come on a Sunday? We're glad you're here. We appreciate you coming. It takes effort to be here. We know that. But is that the way you receive the Word of God? Do you hear the Word of God or do you just listen to it? It's so sad. The book of James talks about people who don't obey the Word of God. The Word of God is preached to them, but they don't obey it. They're not a doer of the Word, James says. And it's a tragedy whenever any person hears the gospel and it goes in one ear and out the other, and they just walk out of the church, and you know, they might as well have been out in the golf course. You know what the Bible actually says for the person who hears the Word of God, or the person who listens to the Word of God rather, but does nothing about it? You know, the Word of God teaches that that person is storing up wrath for themselves. That person is heaping up judgment upon their own heads. Do we listen to the Word of God or do we hear it? It's only when we hear it that saving faith can come. The Lord Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Time and time again, he repeated those words. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He didn't say, let him listen. Let him hear. He said on another occasion, take heed how ye hear. He said on another occasion, let these things, this is wonderful, let these things sink down into your ears. Isn't that amazing? Let these things sink down into your ears. Because Jesus knew fine well what was in man. He knows what human beings are like. And he knows that we're prone to just listen carelessly and not to hear his word. Revelation, the Lord Jesus writing to the seven churches, every time he writes to them, he says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. But I want us to think today not just about faith's source and faith's course. Thank God for faith's force. The force of faith. The Apostle Paul, he says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This great river that starts out and has its source in the Word of God, it flows on, and whenever a person hears it, then saving faith comes, and oh, here's the force of faith. Faith is now a great river flowing down. The person is saved. They've been converted. The word of God has been heeded. They've turned to Christ and believed the gospel and obeyed the gospel. And here's the force of faith. It's wonderful whenever a person gets to that stage. They've heard the word of God. They've heard, they haven't just listened to it and let it go in one ear and out the other, but they've actually heard it and taken it in and obeyed it. And then saving faith comes. But I want to finish today. It would be wrong for me to finish without just mentioning a few warnings today about this faith. Let me say as we close today, some of the ways that faith does not come to a person. You know, there are people today who think that this saving faith comes through the sacraments. They think that faith comes through baptism, infant baptism. By the way, you'd be surprised today at the number of believers who believe in what's called covenant theology. They have their children baptized, the water sprinkled on their children. You thought, sure, that was only for people in the darkness of some system without the word of God. But you'd be surprised at the number of believers today who practice covenant theology. I don't find it anywhere in the Bible. To me, it's no better than infant baptism. As one old preacher said, yes, a little wetter, but no better. But people believe in the sacraments. People believe Holy Communion. If I take Holy Communion, oh, saving faith will come. God will accept me. That'll make me a believer. That's not what the Bible teaches. There are other people who believe that faith comes from your parents. That it's in the genes. It's hereditary. And, oh, everything's fine because my father's a believer, my mother's a believer, so that means I'm okay. Or my brother's a believer, or my sister's a believer, or my son is a believer, or my daughter's a believer, so it's in the family and it's okay. I have saving faith too. That's not what the Bible teaches. Neither does saving faith come from feelings. I want you to get that today. There's some people and they think, oh, I've got to work up a really sorry feeling and I've got to grit my teeth and I can't come to Christ until I work up this really sad emotion and I can't come to Christ until I have this strange sensation and I have this tingling in my spine and then I'll come to Christ. Because that's where saving faith comes from. I want to tell you today, if that's what you've believed up till now, that's the lie from the devil. Because faith does not come from feelings. Come whatever way you feel. Come to Christ today. Old Martin Luther, he said the feelings are deceiving. He said, feelings come. And feelings go and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God. Naught else is worth believing. I want to say that faith does not come through dreams and visions. I didn't say that the Lord doesn't use dreams and visions. He does. I know of people who God has spoken to through dreams and visions. But what I'm saying is today that that's not the source of faith. Faith does not come from a dream or a vision. You could have a dream about the return of Christ or something else to do with the Bible and still be a lost soul. Having a dream about spiritual things will never save you. It will never produce saving faith. Oh, thank God today, saving faith comes from the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the light of your word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Lord, your word saves us from so many errors. Your word scatters the darkness. Lord, we do pray that there will be those today who would possess this saving faith. Oh, that, Lord, they'd be brought to that stage of resting upon the finished work of Christ and nothing else. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.